Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Everybody, and welcome back to A Change in Attitude, the podcast where we go back through the Attitude Era of WWE Raw and kind of work out whether it was amazing, as we all seem to think it is, or whether it was just a big old pile of crap looked at through rose-coloured glasses. I am Mags, and joining me today, the newest member of the team, Danny, how are you, sir?
Hello, Megs. I'm doing really well. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. After last week's revelations of you joining the team on a more permanent basis and then having your own kind of podcast irons in the fire, excited to hear your content. Have you and Chris got together yet and recorded any episodes? Got anything like scheduled, put down on paper, anything like that?
Not yet, but we are meeting this week. So, I mean, we've been discussing things through DMs and things like that. So, hopefully this week we'll be able to meet up. And, looking good. Yeah. It's looking good.
I caught your episode of SJP with Sarah, where you gave a little bit more of a tidbit of what's going on with it being like kind of the hidden gems of wrestling. So, yeah, it's I'm really excited for that. Can't wait for that to start.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, hopefully it'll do really, really well, and you'll be able to catch that on the UTT podcast feed. So definitely go and subscribe to that if you aren't already. And for more reasons to subscribe to it, you can obviously get the Unbooking the Territory and Unbooking the Tankatory podcast, which are on there already to kind of wet your whistle before Chris and Dan's show starts dropping very, very soon. But we're not here for all that. We are here to wade our way through the Attitude Era of Raw. And we're sneaking our way quickly to the end of 1996. Only one more episode left in this torrid year. We've actually on the episode that came from the 23rd of December 1996, recorded in Tampa Bay, Florida. And Danny is going to take the wheel on this episode. So off you pop, Danny.
Thank you very much, Mags. Well, today's episode started with Mark Miro versus Hunter Hearst Helmsley. Mm-hmm. This was throughout the whole, there wasn't much action on this Raw episode, but this was definitely the best match. There was a lot of action in this. What did you think of this?
Yeah, it was. It started off interesting that we get confirmation that this is it's had the DQ and count out rules switched, which means if Hunter gets himself counted out, or if Hunter gets disqualified, he loses the title. I don't think it specifically needed that, but it adds to the gravitas. But we also get to see Goldust and Marlena come down sit in the audience to watch. I mean, why they couldn't just do what Shawn Michaels did and watch it from a monitor backstage, I don't know. But I think you're right. This is a really good TV match. It's nothing particularly special, but I think it's a really, really good TV match. We hear on commentary that from JR that he spoke to Mark Miro, and Mark Miro seems to think that this is going to be his last attempt at getting Intercontinental Gold. I don't think that's true. If I remember rightly, he wins the title a couple more times. Yeah, this was a decent match. We know Mark Miro is one of the best wrestlers in this kind of group of wrestlers we've got in 1996, and Triple H is love him or hate him, he's a top top draw talent. But yeah, this was a really decent match. But my issue is that it doesn't really do anything to elevate the Intercontinental title. I mean, ever since we kind of started the show with Goldust, who was the champion, and then we went on to Ahmed Johnson, then to Miro and Hunter. Whoever holds the title, it seems to be the one that's kind of getting beat down, or is the coward, or is there's nothing done to kind of make the champion seem relevant. And for me, it's disappointing, because I absolutely think the IC title is the best title that WWE's got. It's the workhorse title. It's the title where you put on your best wrestlers rather than your biggest draws. And I feel it's been kind of let down with not even being the focal point of this feud, because the focal point is Goldust. So yeah, it's a little bit disappointing that the title is not the main picture, but we get a pretty clean finish with the pedigree for the end. And then Goldust, who sat silently in the crowd with Marlena. Triple H essentially repeats a lot of what Jerry Lawler said last week, calling out whether he's a real man and whether Marlena wants to get with a real man. I don't like where this is going. I know that it's a different time period, but yeah, it's as horrific now as it was then. That kind of encourages Goldust to essentially come to the ring, which ends up leading to we've missed out that JR got chased off. Jerry Lawler got chased off. I mean, that's not a bad thing that we've missed out.
That's the highlight.
Yeah. Well, essentially in the middle of the match, Mark Miro chases Jerry Lawler off because of that comment he's made about Sable and stuff like that. But yeah, we see Goldust, can you imagine if it was Goldberg? Jesus Christ. Goldberg again said it. Goldust coming down to essentially square off with Hunter. Hunter runs again, making the champion look weak. Yeah, but as for the match, yeah, very, very entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. I like what you said about the Intercontinental Championship, because for so many years they would have peaks and valleys with the title, because some years it would be on workhorses, as you said, like Kurt Hennig, Bret Hart, and other years we would have bloody Val Venus as the Intercontinental Champion. So it's definitely got its ups and downs. So we go straight from that to a recap of last week's the Battle of the Guns, where we see a new interview from Bart. Well, we hear a new interview from Bart Gunn on Livewire. What did you think of this little audio clip from Bart Gunn?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't add anything in particularly new to what we saw from last week's Raw. As we come to the end of the show last week, Bart's wife and Billy's wife were both pretty mad at Bart for what happened. But yeah, it was an accident. It's these guys aren't doing ballet. It's professional wrestling, and we know it's all in kayfabe, because Billy Gunn certainly wasn't really injured here. But yeah, I think it just kept the story fresh in people's minds rather than adding to it, rather than adding any kind of new details. We still heard that Billy and Bart are at loggerheads. Billy won't speak to Bart. Bart's family are all upset with him. Yeah, it's just a continuation of what we saw on last week's Raw.
Definitely. I love how Vince McMahon himself goes from this somber concerned commentator till the second Sonny's music hits, he's all upbeat and he goes, "Ah, oh, it's Sonny, it's Sonny." So as we get Sonny walk into the ring, the mood absolutely changes. But then we go straight to a horrifying, in my view, Psycho Sid Christmas Carol. This creeped me out. What did you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to kind of like show how the holiday seasons, I don't know if Psycho Sid is the guy you would put front to center of it, but he was the champion, and yeah, it was it was not a good advert, and we see the other advert as well with Fred Blassie and the kid dancing to the wrestler's music. Yeah, WWF adverts around this time were pretty cringe. So yeah, I wasn't a fan of it.
No, definitely not. Then we go to Rocky Maivia versus Salvatore Sincere, and with Sonny on commentary, which pretty much dominated this entire match. This was a quick little match. What did you think of this?
Yeah, I mean, the match was nothing to really write home about. It's clearly just a lower card feud to get Rocky Maivia on TV, to get the fans behind him. It doesn't seem to be working because the fans were essentially sat on their hands. He gets more kind of praise, I suppose, from Sonny than anyone who's... she's very, very lecherous. If the roles were reversed and that was a male manager doing what she did to a female wrestler, it'd be looked more down upon. There was a funny part in this match though where she calls Vince McMahon a pervert, and I thought, yep, Jesus Christ, that's hitting the hammer right on the head there. And then he tries to switch it and say, no, it wasn't me, it was JR. Something wrong with JR's face. And just after he's had Bell's palsy as well, and JR said, yeah, there's nothing wrong with my face. And it came close to the bone of offending a JR. But the match was okay. Rocky, you can still tell it's very, very green. Works a little bit too fast sometimes, but then slows down a lot, and he's trying to play up to the crowd a lot more. I like the fact that Jim Cornette is hanging around as well, kind of like putting more gravitas, I suppose, on him and Sonny vying for the Rock's managerial duties, I suppose. Yeah. I think Salvatore is a decent first feud for The Rock. He's good at leading him in the match and takes the Hurricane DDT pretty well, the floor over and the shoulder breaker, which, yeah, I'm not a big fan of that. But to say that this was a passable match and The Rock has only been wrestling for what? This is what, his fourth match maybe in WWF? I don't think it was that bad. He's trying to play up to the crowd and be that kind of ultra white meat baby face when he's not quite there yet. But the match was decent.
Definitely. And there was a really hilarious line from Sonny here where Vince McMahon's insinuating that somebody's cheating in the ring, and Sonny just looks deadpan into the camera and says, "I don't cheat." Even though around this time, what was she doing backstage?
Yeah, I mean, some of the lines that were coming from Sonny about how she'd like to get her claws into Rocky and stuff like that. And Vince is like, "You mean in a managerial way, don't you?" And she's like, "Of course I do, Vince. What do you take me for? I'm a good girl." I'm like, eesh. Yep. Tell that to Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels.
Yep. I mean, that's not age well at all. I mean, just... then we get our very important interview that's been hyped up a few times during tonight's broadcast, and it's Psycho Sid interview. And to be honest, I thought this was one of Sid's best interviews. It was used very, very well here. The music itself playing all throughout was a nice change as well. What did you think of this interview?
Yep, I think it's when you use Psycho Sid, when you guard Psycho Sid through a relatively short interview, it works. Or you mentioned it last week about how he's so good at being dominating with his interviews, and the best part comes when he gets quieter, he gets more intense. This was a really good interview, essentially saying whoever comes at him, he's going to beat him down. And I really like the way he kind of finished it off. I didn't really know where he was going at first when he was saying, I'm 6'9", 300 pounds today. And I'm like, I think he's got off the wagon here, Vince, reining back in. But then he was going, I'm 6'9", 300 pounds tomorrow, and then the day after. And that's when it sunk in. He was essentially saying, no matter what game plan you have, you can have all the technical wrestling in the world, but I'm still going to be a brutal monster day in, day out, and that's what you have to face. And I thought, it was a really good interview. And I like the way we also got that switches to Shawn Michaels, who was actually watching a TV correctly, facing the TV, not sad on. But how rough does Shawn Michaels look? He looks... I mean, I mentioned it last week, how he had darkened eyes and he looked unkempt, and he was chewing like he'd maybe taken some illegal substances. This Shawn Michaels, it was almost like he was half drunk, half smacked up. I just don't get it. It was a weird kind of throwback to Shawn Michaels. And then we get more of him later on as the end of the show comes, when he is so sarcastic with Vince McMahon. But we will get there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I totally agree on that. Shawn Michaels watching television like a normal person. I mean, that was that's one of the only times I've ever seen.
And a 12-inch portable TV as well.
No, that was it was something else. From there, we get a very interesting advert for Shotgun Saturday Night. And did you ever watch this when it was going on Shotgun Saturday Night?
I've watched episodes afterwards. I don't think we got it when it was live. I've watched I think it's later on in when we get further into next year. There's an important Shotgun Saturday Night where Austin and I think it's Bret Hart have a fight or something like that. So we may end up kind of mentioning it more. But they were trying to make WWE appeal to an older crowd, I suppose. It felt like, with it being in Vegas and being almost like nightclub-esque, the way they were kind of explaining it. It didn't take off. I don't think they did many episodes of it, but you have to try. If you don't try, you don't succeed. So
definitely, I watched the first episode a couple of years ago, and I just remember seeing Vince McMahon in a green party shirt, and he looked like Tony Blair on holiday time. He's kind of like just standing around, just trying to fit in with the cool kids. But yeah, that's all I remember from that. Maybe we should review that at some point.
And maybe we should stick pins in our eyes. Yeah. But yeah, could be an idea. I mean, to just have a look back at some of those episodes and laugh at them.
Yeah, the styles.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Life's better with American Family Insurance, because our home policies help protect your dreams and come with peace of mind. Save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote, find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
But from there we go to an interesting tag team match. We have, I'm going to butcher these names, Piroff and Cibernetico.
Cibernetico,
yeah. Versus the New Rockers, who I did not expect to see Marty Jannetty again.
It's going to be one of the last few times you see him. Obviously, these are all taped in blocks.
Oh, yes.
Marty has essentially been booted out because of like how we mentioned a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Issues with the finish of matches and him having an attitude problem. And, you know, I didn't like this match. Didn't like it one little bit. I think there was a massive styles clash between the two. Whether that's communication with the two Mexican wrestlers or whether that's just Marty and Al Snow dialing it in, it just felt clumsy. There were a few spots that were clearly missed. It just felt slow, and especially when you consider what Mexican wrestling is kind of pertained to us with like the Lucha Libre style high flying. These two didn't feel particularly high flying in Piroff and Cibernetico. And I think JR did a really good job of kind of almost papering over the cracks of like, we've got the bum end of this AAA talent here. That being said, they didn't really kind of resonate with the crowd either. So you're putting them up against a tag team that the crowd aren't particularly interested in, and you've two wrestlers who they don't know anything about. So this ended up being kind of like the Rocky and Salvatore match, where the fans didn't look interested. And that's half of the battle, I think, especially in watching it on TV or in a role like this. You kind of need those fans to be invested, for you to be invested in it. And I think when you don't have that fan investment and you can only focus on the product, this product didn't do enough for me to stand up on its own. There were plenty of interesting moves. I mean, I think Cibernetico did a sunset flip. We saw kind of like dives to the outside and stuff like that. But it was very, very basic, very rudimentary, very, very slow wrestling from both teams. And obviously, with the Mexicans getting the win, burying the New Rockers. And the tag division in WWF is already kind of threadbare as it is now. I mean, the only team that's really got any kind of momentum, you would say, is Furnace and LaFon. Because you've got the Godwins not doing too well, the Rockers clearly on the verge of splitting up, the Smoking Guns already out the door, and then Bulldog and Owen having issues. You would think they'd want to kind of elevate some tag teams, but obviously not. This was clearly to boost the relationship between AAA and WWF to fill the Royal Rumble, because obviously we have got a very small roster of wrestlers in this period. It's the same kind of wrestlers repeated over and over again. Hopefully in the next few weeks, that's going to kind of like bulk out. I'm going to see a lot more talent on these shows.
Yep.
But yeah, this match was missable, absolutely missable.
Definitely agreed with that. And I thought it was hilarious that Jannetty took the pin. And I was just thinking about that thing you was talking about a couple of weeks ago, where it was complaining backstage. But I can't imagine he was too happy about this. From there, we go to a very, quite a good interview conducted by Jim Ross to the legendary Mil Máscaras, where he confirms he'll be in the Royal Rumble. And Jim Ross did his best here. I think Jim Ross was really good, including Vince McMahon, who said that it was a Hall of Fame worthy interview.
Award-winning interview by Jim Ross. Is there clearly trying to take the mick out of Jim Ross? But I agree with you. I think when you've got a wrestler who's English is not their first language, I think Jim Ross did well to lead this interview. We got the information that we needed about how Mil Máscaras is excited to be in the Rumble, how he's excited to be in San Antonio, and he's wrestled there a lot. Yeah, I think Jim Ross did an admirable job in getting the answers out of Mil Máscaras. So, yeah, good on JR there.
Yeah, definitely. He's done better than Vince ever could at this. from there, we go to Honky Tonk Man just making his entrance, which I thought he was coming out for a match, but as he was coming out to be the commentator for the main event, which was Bret the Hitman Hart versus the Fake Razor. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask you first, what did you think of this match as a whole?
Again, not a brilliant match. We know that Bret can wrestle anybody to a decent match. I think he struggled to wrestle Razor to a decent match. It felt like it went way too long for me as well. What would it go like? Almost 10 minutes. But it also felt like the end came like almost out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like Bret hits the Bulldog and the Sharpshooter. But this match was all to fill time for essentially the Honky Tonk Man to stroke his own ego, Vince McMahon to kind of stroke his own ego as well. There was a funny line by Honky Tonk when he said he called Razor's hair a bit too greasy, which when you consider Honky Tonk Man, he does an Elvis impression and his hair is slick back, you'd think, yeah, that's a bit on the nose. But yeah, it almost felt like there was no reason for Honky Tonk to be here. Like it was kind of out of the blue. Luckily I know what kind of like the storyline is. And this is leading him to getting his new protege, which is it goes down as a fart in church, but it does eventually lead to getting one of the best tag teams that we've seen a long, long time with the New Age Outlaws. So at least some good comes from it. But yeah, the match was a nothing match. Very, very forgettable. Very forgettable. A lot of ad breaks in the match as well that kind of like takes you out of it. But yeah, it was Bret did his best to polish the turd, but yeah, Rick Bogner as Razor, his time thankfully is coming up very, very soon. And I don't particularly like this kind of a almost heel Bret Hart that we're getting, because to me he's just the ever present babyface. But at least it's another kind of edge to his character. But yeah, the match was a nothing match. Like I said, finished pretty early, and saved us all from having to watch any more of it.
I mean, this was nothing compared to the Royal Rumble 1993 match, but obviously that was a different person.
No, it wasn't. How dare you?
So I wonder if they studied that, both of them sitting in the locker room just watching that on video. But yeah, I agree with you with most of that, because the one thing I did like was that even though Bret Hart was trying to wrestle as a heel, the commentators really healed it up for him and said, oh yeah, look, he's got more aggressive. And he was doing more kicks than he usually does and stuff like that. So yeah. And it was like a 50-50 nothing kind of match there. No one is going out of their way to watch that again.
No.
But yeah.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
And then during the match, we did see Shawn Michaels watching backstage, but then we go to after the match to right to Shawn Michaels himself, who's still sitting there, which I'm shocked about. I thought he would have been in the bathroom or something. But but he was just sat there, as you said earlier, just completely uncooperative during this interview, kind of like mocking Vince McMahon. Vince was trying his hardest. But what did you think of this sign-off overall?
Yeah, it was... Shawn Michaels, he just looked like a spoiled brat, the way Vince... I mean, the questions from Vince weren't exactly groundbreaking. He was asking very kind of simple questions, commenting on how Psycho Sid has got an attitude and how Bret Hart's got a new attitude, and every single time he says something, Shawn Michaels going, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and
a 12-year-old.
Yeah, pretty much. And then he's talking about Vince is saying you look like you've had an attitude change, but there's something different about you. And he's like, yeah, and that's why I've stuck around, Vince. You know that I've been the champion because there's something different about me. But it was at least he was sitting watching the TV. it felt more like the real Shawn Michaels, the kind of cocky, smarmy Shawn Michaels that we've all heard the rumors about backstage. But it felt almost too real, like he wasn't actually being a character anymore. This was what he's like as a person. You could almost hear Vince getting frustrated with Shawn Michaels, the way he was acting. To end the show on this doesn't really make me want to kind of tune in next week. I mean, I know we have to tune in next week because we've got to watch the show. It was with him sounding kind of almost disinterested in what Vince has to say. Why should we as viewers be interested in finding out what happens next week? It's very off-putting. I mean, that's what I got from it. When one of your big stars is acting like a petulant child and not really kind of doing anything to harp the next show, what makes you want to watch that next show? I didn't think it worked.
He didn't even turn around.
No, he just leaned over. Yeah, over, chewed his gum, said yeah about 15 times. I think it would have been better to actually switch this interview with the Sid Vicious one. I think ending on that Sid Vicious interview would have made a hell of a lot more sense, because that got you harped up. He did a really good job in kind of like pushing the storylines forward. He showed that anger and that intensity. The crowds were popping during that interview. Like you mentioned, the music playing all the way through was a really good touch. That would have been a better way to end a Raw and get you ready for the next one, rather than a petulant child like Shawn Michaels sat there chewing his gum and kind of one word answering the interviews. It just didn't make sense for me.
Definitely. They really, in hindsight, they really should have, as you said, just swapped them round, and then it would have been a much more better ending. But that's going to do it for us for another week of a change in attitude. Mags, where can they find you?
So, thank you all for listening, and thank you, Danny, again, for not only being a great co-host and also a great lead for the show, but being part of the team here at Changing Attitude. Yeah, it's massively appreciated. You brought a really cool dynamic to the show, and yeah, it's fun being able to spend this time chatting about this terrible Raws with you. But you could follow me on the Twitter at PodfatherMags, where you can find links to the multitude of podcasts that I'm involved in. Many of them here on the Chair Shot with Five Rounds and Badlands. So yeah, definitely go and give them a sub, and go and give me a follow on the Twitter.
Brilliant. And you can also follow our co-hosts, Ori at Ori the Draw on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm doing a terrible job with that.
Twitch, definitely go and follow her on Twitch. Yep.
And you can also follow Tanner at Texas Gentleman _. But thank you very much, everyone, for tuning in. You can find me at Scottish Juggalo on Twitter, where I'll be doing my own podcast at some point with Chris Bellis, as probably, hopefully, by the end of this month. But we'll let you know more when it happens. But thank you very much for tuning in. And remember, always use your head.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.